came ready to worship? Oh, we got to try that again. Who came ready to worship? All right, amen, amen. Would you stand up this morning as we go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to go right into worship, right into lifting up the name of Jesus. And got our kids in here today, so we're going to be challenged by them. They know how to praise and worship. We're going to continue to do it together. And so, Lord, we thank you today that this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice in it. Lord, we pray right now that you would just put your hand of anointing, your hand of blessing upon all that happens in this place. Lord, we thank you for every young person and kid in this room today. We thank you, Lord, for every adult, for every grandparent. Lord, all the generations here today worshiping together. Lord, may we lift up your name. May you be honored today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Let's worship.
Praise God. I love this old hymn of the church. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto who? Unto him against that day. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know who I am believing and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. Time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Oh, come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before. The time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come. Oh, let's worship him right now, church. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voices in praise with me. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name, God. We worship you, Jesus, in this place. Lord, for certainly the greatest treasure remains for those who serve you now, for those who love you now, for those who know you now and confess you now. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord, today. Oh, Lord, what a beautiful day to worship you in spirit and in truth. A beautiful Sunday, God, to stand in your house with your people and lift up songs of praise to you. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. A thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Praise God. And all who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Song forever to the Lamb. We'll sing the We have to stand in that number already. Having already confessed you as our Lord and Savior, God, having already had our names put in the Lamb's Book of Life, having already been adopted into your family, God, let us not forget what you have done. And when we do, Lord, let us come back to you. Let us come running back to you. Say, Father, forgive me. Lord God, I want to be close to you again. I want to be in fellowship with you again. I want to walk and talk with you again, Lord. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah. This and that last song has really ministered to me over the last few weeks. And I just pray this song over all the church and over all the nation, in fact, that we would come back to the Lord, that we would come back to the one who made it all possible, the one who started life, and the one who saved us, the one who filled us with his spirit, with his hope, and with eternity in heaven. Lord, may we as a nation come back to you. May we as a church come back to you, Lord. Not take our eyes off of you by the things of this world, by the idols of this world, God. Cleanse us, Lord, we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord, today. We turn our heart and our mind and our eyes to you, God. I
I don't wanna be familiar, treated like it doesn't matter. I don't wanna lose the wonder of your presence. I don't wanna come entitled, want to run in like a child, caught up in the joy and wonder of your presence. Coming back to first love, coming back to Jesus, coming back to you.
Yes, we are, Lord. Hallelujah.
No more going through the motions. You're my one devotion. I'm coming back to you.
Lord Jesus, today coming back to you. Jesus, Jesus, have your way in us, Lord, today. Have your way, have your way, have your way, have your way, have your way.
'Cause I can feel a world of difference. Suddenly the room is shifting. Finding again the wonder of your presence. I never want to leave communion. Just want to be where you're moving. Caught up in the joy and the wonder of your presence. Oh, I am coming back to first love. Coming back. Coming back.
Sing it one more time to the Lord.
Yeah, coming back to first love, coming back to Jesus, coming back to you. No more going through the motions. You're my one devotion. I'm coming back to you.
Coming back to you, Lord. You told the church at Ephesus the one thing you had against them is that they had left their first love. They had let the things of the world try to take the place of you in their hearts. And Lord, sometimes that happens with us. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. Let us put you right back in that place you belong. Let us remember where we've fallen from. Restore our hearts to you, Lord, as we confess our need, as we confess that we need you, and we confess that we love you, that we want to serve you. And God, in our heart of hearts, we want to hear you say, well done. Well done. Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. God, that's our prayer today. Not just for us, for our family, for our precious children that are here in the service today, and our precious grandchildren. We want them to stand before the throne and for you to say to them one day, well done, my child. Well done. Enter into the place that I've prepared for you. Oh, God, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. Lord, I pray for Marcia Gifford today, who fell and broke both arms. Lord Jesus, I know she must be in a lot of pain. As she anticipates possible surgery in the future, Lord, I just pray that you would heal her right now, that these bones in both arms would begin to heal, where she doesn't have to have this surgery, these plates put in and screws and what all they will do. Lord God, reach down and touch Sister Marcia right now in the name of Jesus. God, touch Francis Grindstaff's brother who has cancer. They've only given him a short time to live. But God, you are the resurrection and the life. Lord God, we just pray for him right now that you would restore his years, restore his life. Give him healing in his body, Lord, right now. And if he doesn't know you, I don't know his spiritual condition. But, Lord, you do, and he does. God, if he doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that he comes to know you through the witness of his brother and others. And maybe he does already know you. And, Lord, should you choose to take him, Lord, I pray that you would just comfort those who would be left behind. But, Lord, you can also heal him. You can also raise him up and restore his health and his life. And we speak that over him right now in Jesus' name. Father God, continue to be with Danny and Natasha as they're rebuilding from the tornado that took out their mobile home. Just thank you for sparing them their lives, Lord. You gave them they had a minute and a half before the tornado took their trailer. We thank you, God, that they were able to get out. Restore them. Help them to get things put back. Lord, we know all these things, Lord, are things you're concerned about. You're concerned about every single person in this room. You're concerned about the battles they're facing, the things on their heart and mind today. And Lord, we just thank you that we can come to you. You're our Heavenly Father. You're our shepherd. You're the one who's interceding for us now before the Father's throne. Lord Jesus, let your will be done today. Minister to every need in this place. If you're not feeling well this morning, or you have something that you need the Lord to do for you, just lift up your hand right now. I got my hand up. I've been really having problems with my lower back. So if you see someone with their hand up right now, would you just quickly go to them? Would you just lay your hand on their shoulder, and would you just pray God to do a miracle of healing in them right now? Father God, I just pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would just touch and heal people this morning in this service. Lord, you said we have not because we ask not. So, Lord, today we're believing on your word that if any two of you agree, it shall be done, Lord. That whatsoever things you believe, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Lord, you told us to ask, to seek, to knock. And when we do that, Lord, that the prayer offered in faith will make the sick well. So, Father God, right now I just pray that you minister to hearts and lives and bodies and situations right now in this service, Lord. Let testimonies come from this service that you have been in the house this morning, that you have touched hearts, that you have touched bodies, that you have touched lives, that you have touched situations, Lord, right now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sing that chorus one more time softly. I am coming back to first love, coming back to Jesus, coming back to you. No more going through the motions. You're my one devotion, coming back to you. Sing it one more time a little louder and then declare it. I am coming back to first love, coming back to Jesus, I'm coming back to you. Oh, there's no more going through the motions. You're my one devotion. I'm coming back to you one more time for good measure. Hallelujah. Oh, I am coming back to first love, coming back to Jesus, coming back to you. No more going through the motions. You're my devotion. I'm coming back to you. Coming back to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? God, you are good. God, you are good. There's a whole string of other people that need prayer that we pray for every Wednesday night, especially in our Wednesday night prayer meeting. Deborah Rowland, Larry Newell, Tony Keller, list goes on and on. If you're not a part of Wednesday night prayer meeting, I'd invite you to come and help us seek the Lord together and pray over these needs. Pray over these people. Let me ask you something. If you were drastically in need, would you want some people praying for you? Would you want a church body gathered together specifically to pray for you? I don't know a one of us in here that wouldn't raise our hands. So let's do that for others. Thank you, Lord. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, God. Glory to your name, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Quickly, shake hands with about three people. Tell them you're glad to see them. And then we're going to move on with the service.
Well, it's good to shake hands, good to greet people. It's good to turn around. How many of you, you come into church sometimes, you sit down, and then you get into worship, and you're just worshiping, and then it's time for the message, that part of the service, you look around, you're like, hey, wait, when did they come in? Ever do that? Yeah. Yeah. So it's good to have all of you here worshiping with us today. If you're a visitor this morning, and maybe it's your first time here, and we haven't gotten to know you yet, but we want to, and you have not received a card from maybe Miss Joyce out in the foyer, there's these visitor cards. They're in the seat back in front of you. They look just like this. Would you do us a favor and fill one of those out? Gives us kind of a record of your attendance. Lets us know you came and hung out with us today. And you'll get a nifty letter from Pastor saying, hey, thanks for coming and hanging out with us. And I see some new faces. That is awesome. Awesome. How many of you know that the best kind of church family is a growing church family? Come on. Come on. And we're just so happy that everyone is here, whether you're online or you're here in the house. We're glad that you're here and hope that, I just love worship, love the worship time this morning and anxious to hear from the Word today. But I've got a few announcements for you before we do that, just to make sure everybody's kind of lined out on what's going on around here. For the last couple of weeks, we've had a sign-up. The women's ministry has collecting supplies to do an outreach to our firefighters and teachers and police and all that, putting these little little goodie bags together from us to them, just appreciation. And today at 2 o'clock, Miss Kelly wants to meet with any of the ladies that would come and help her to put those together. They're just going to come right in here, and the more people that come, the quicker it'll go. But they're going to get all those bags together and get them ready so that they can present those, like I said, to our every teacher in our school district and policeman and dispatch and EMS and firefighter. And so I think it's a great cause. I think it's awesome for us to reach out. And so at 2 o'clock today, they're going to get together and put those all together. Next Sunday night, the men's ministry, so women's ministry is doing something today. Next Sunday night, the men's ministry is getting together. We're going to leave here at 5 o'clock and head to Bricktown Harkins Theater to see the new George Foreman movie. And it starts at 6 o'clock. You don't have to buy tickets in advance. We'll buy them there at the door. There's plenty of tickets. They're $7. But we would like you to sign up so we kind of know who all is intending to come in and be with us. So the sign-up is in the foyer. And if you forget today, you can sign up next week. But we're just trying to get an idea of how many guys are going to come hang out with us. And so next Sunday night, we're going to go see this awesome movie about the story of George Foreman, who was the former heavyweight champion of the world and is currently a pastor. And you'll hear and see about that story. And it's awesome. So we had the membership class starting today, and we had a full class, and we'll have that next week too. And so is that right? This week and next week, right? Yeah, this week and next week. Also, youth, if you have young people, you have grandkids, you have people that are in the 6th grade to 12th grade range, got a couple of things for you. First of all, Senior Sunday, our graduation Sunday, will be May 21st. But today is the day to do the interview. So if you have a senior and you want them to be recognized, you need to come see me ASAP, as in as soon as church is over, so we can get all that lined up. And we're excited about that Sunday. That's just 3 weeks away. And also, youth camp is right around the corner in June. And we have limited spots, even less. It says 3 and 8. Now we have 2 and 7, 2 girl spots, 7 guy spots left. And so if you have a young person that you want to go to camp, you need to come see me before we run out of spots. And also, I am looking for some folks that might say, hey, I'd be willing to scholarship some kids. We've got some kids who would like to go to camp, but maybe financially that's a little bit of a strain. And so if you'd be willing to do that, come see me. And that is always a blessing for those of you that reach out and help us in that way. And we appreciate it. Lots of other ministries, homebound ministries, and the quilting and the prayer. So just make sure you read your bulletin. And let's welcome the ushers as they come to receive the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. 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 As they come to get in place, want to remind you that this weekend is the Rose Rock Festival in our town, and so that means that we'll be doing our large garage sale. It's our biggest fundraiser for the missions trip, where our youth are going to New York, and so we're raising money. Thank you for those who've already donated stuff to the garage sale. If you intend to and you have not brought your stuff yet, we would ask that you donate it. It says it right there, by this Wednesday. If you can't get it here by this Wednesday, then we would ask that you would hold off and just bring it down to the corner where we do the garage sale on Friday or Saturday. Okay, that would help us because by Wednesday we've got it all wrapped up. We're ready to take it down. And so if you don't bring it by Wednesday at church, then just hold off and bring it on Friday or Saturday. That'll be awesome. All right, let's pray with the tithe and offering this morning. We thank you, Lord, for all you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've provided for us and all that's happening here at the church. We thank you, Lord, for the young people going to camps. We thank you, Lord, for the young people going on missions trips. We thank you for our men's ministry and women's ministry and the outreaches. Lord, we just thank you that you just continue to use us in a variety of ways. And Lord, may we continue to further the kingdom of God, that we further the gospel, and may the church and the family of the church grow exponentially. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Phil. Thank you, Pastor Phil, for preaching a great message last Sunday. I listened to it in the car on the way back from Houston. The blessing of the cameras back there allows you to tune in when you're not there. And so that was a blessing. Thank you. Give a good hand of appreciation for Pastor Phil, the message, handling things. We're blessed with some great leadership here, and I appreciate him and all of the leaders of our church family and Pastor Chad and the work back there. So, amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. You'll notice the title says, Jesus Rejected At. Well, the subtitle of the passage we're going to read in Mark 6, beginning at verse 1, says, Jesus Rejected at Nazareth. Can I tell you, Jesus can be rejected at other places too. Hopefully he's not rejected at your house or in your time that you give him. He's not rejected in your thinking. Why was Jesus rejected? Because they refused to believe. They refused to have faith and believe. And so we don't want the Lord to be rejected. Amen. It's good to have David and Linda here this morning. I'm just looking back there and seeing David and Linda Harrison. All right. Bless you guys for being here. So that's the title of the message this morning. Jesus Rejected At, and in the title there it says Nazareth, but you fill in the blank. I certainly don't want him rejected at Steve Lance's house. Amen. I want him to feel accepted, approved, welcome at my house. Amen. Amen. So let's read the verses together. Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. So far, so good, right? They asked, where do you get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? Then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter and the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sisters live right here among us. They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Father, we thank you, Lord, today for the opportunity to be here in service, to experience the time of worship and praise, but now to turn our hearts to the Word of God. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would just speak to us today. Holy Spirit, minister to each and every person. Draw us closer to you. Help us, Father God, to have faith and to believe and not to reject what you want to do in our lives, in our church, in our homes, in our country, and around the world. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. As we begin today, have you ever heard about someone, about how mean or unkind they are, and then when you met them and you got to know them, you found out that they were really misrepresented? That ever happened to you? You hear about somebody and boy, you just get this terrible picture of them, that they're mean or that they're not very nice or they're not very kind, and then you meet them and start talking to them and get in a relationship with them and think, what are they talking about? I remember when I was in the fifth grade a few years ago, I found out that I was having a teacher by the name of Mrs. Presnell. And everybody said about Mrs. Presnell, oh, Steve, I can't believe you got her. Man, she is so mean. She is terrible. Nobody likes Mrs. Presnell. And they had all these terrible names for her. And I thought, oh, man, and that's where I got in her class. But you know what I found out as time went by? I found out that she was really a nice lady. I got to meet her and talk with her, and every day, instead of her sitting with the other teachers, like in the teacher area of the lunchroom, she sat with her class. And she sat there every day, and she'd talk to us kids, and I remember sitting there, I thought, she is the nicest teacher. And so everything I'd been told about Miss Presnell was wrong. She was really nice. She really took an interest in me. And I thought, man, she was really misrepresented. That's where a lot of people are in relation to Jesus. Their image of Jesus may come from negative contacts with churches or those professing to follow him, or the attitudes of those who don't know him. And so they have embraced a view of Jesus that's far different than reality. And that's kind of what happened at Nazareth. If people really got to know and understand who Jesus is, they wouldn't reject him. They wouldn't reject his offer of eternal life. They wouldn't reject his involvement in their lives. They wouldn't reject what he has to offer him. Instead, they've been given this misrepresentation as to who he is. And unfortunately, Satan tries his best to keep people blinded to the truth. And sometimes even we Christians don't help it that much when our words or our actions misrepresent him too. Sometimes we kind of are to blame at times if we're not careful. So may the Lord help us truthfully yet graciously represent our Lord and Savior 24/7. Can I hear a good amen? Let us represent him to a hurting, hopeless world. I've divided the text today into three parts that we will look at, and they are the return, the refusal, the regret. So let's get started. First of all, the return. Mark chapter 6, verse 1 says, Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. Now you would think that he would be welcomed back with open arms, wouldn't you? Hailed as a hometown hero. I mean, since he left his hometown in Mark chapter 1 and verse 9, that verse says he left Nazareth, his hometown, he has done a whole lot of good for a whole lot of people, as we have talked about over the last several months in this series, Remarkable. He has done a whole lot of good, healed a lot of people, delivered people from the devil, raised the dead. I mean, he has been busy. He's gathered 12 disciples to travel with him. He has been doing a world of good. Let's just review his travels and track record for just a second. In Mark chapter 1, he cast out an evil spirit of a man in church. Did you know the devil goes to church sometimes? There was a man in the synagogue who was demon-possessed, and the Lord called him out and set him free. And then he went over to Peter's mother-in-law's house for Sunday dinner, and what did he find there? She was sick. She was in bed. She had a very high fever and was very sick. So what did Jesus do? He healed her, and she got up and made lunch. And then there were many other people who were healed right after that, that evening. All kinds of people came to Jesus to get healed, including another person who had leprosy. In Mark chapter 2, he healed the paralyzed man who was lowered through the roof. Remember the man who couldn't get to Jesus because the house was too full? He had some friends who said, that's not a problem. They climbed up on the roof, dug a hole in the roof, and lowered him right down in front of Jesus, and Jesus healed him. He called Matthew in Mark 2. He got together with Matthew and his friends. Matthew got a bunch of his friends together. What kind of friends did Matthew have? They weren't very good people, were they? They weren't Christian Sunday church attenders. They were sinners. They were tax collectors. They were bad people. But Jesus got together with them because he said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. And he ministered to them, but the religious folk didn't like that. But he was doing good. He talked about fasting. He talked about the Sabbath. Mark chapter 3, he heals a man with a deformed hand. There was a man with a withered hand, and the Lord told him to stretch out his hand, and it was made whole, including another person who was demon-possessed. He chose 12 apostles. In Mark chapter 4, he taught about the sower, the seed, and the soils, as well as the lamp and the mustard seed. In Mark chapter 5, as we saw a couple of weeks or so ago, he healed a man of 2,000 to 6,000 demons. We don't really know how many. The man of the Gadarenes, the demoniac, was set free and went about all over the other area, the 10 towns, telling about what Jesus did for him. And then as Pastor Phil preached Sunday, he healed a lady who had been bleeding for 12 years, who pushed her way through the crowd just to touch what? The hem of his garment. And in that trip, he was actually on his way to one of the synagogue rulers' house because he had a daughter who was 12 years old who was about to die. I mean, when he got there, the girl already died. But what did Jesus say? She's not dead. She's only asleep. And they laughed at him and they ridiculed. So he took the father and mother and Peter, James, and John and went in and he spoke to the little girl and she got up. Now you tell me, Jesus has been doing some good. So he's been gone a while. I don't know how many months it's been. I don't know if it's been a year into his ministry, if it's been 6 months. He lived in Nazareth until he was 30 years old. That's where he spent his childhood and his teenage years and his 20s, working in his father's carpenter shop, learning how to make furniture and other stuff, earning a living. But when he turned 30, he set out in the ministry. He was baptized by John, the Holy Spirit come upon him, and he began where we've been preaching over the last few months in Mark. But now, in Mark chapter 6, he left the area where he was at, and he went back home to his hometown. His family, some of them still live there. You see, he had moved to Capernaum. Capernaum was a city, a big city, located by the Sea of Galilee. It had a lot of commerce. There was a major highway that went by there, a road. Not really a highway when you think of our highways today. It was a major metropolis of that day. I actually got to visit there in 2014 when I got to go to Israel. I got to see where Peter's house was and where the synagogue was and walk there. It was pretty cool. And so he left Nazareth. Nazareth was up in the hills, a small village, kind of up in the hills, off the beaten path, just a small town. He left there to go to the big city to be closer to people and closer to the Sea of Galilee, where he could travel, and closer to the major roads. But now this 30-year-old carpenter has come home to visit with many changed and blessed people in his wake. You know, when a boat travels the water, they leave a wake. When Jesus traveled the area, he left a wake of blessed people behind him, didn't he? Healed people, people set free from demons, people who had withered hands, people who were raised to life from death, people who got good teaching about the sower and the lamp. And he did all these wonderful things. And so you would think that when he comes home, I mean, there would be a ticker tape parade. There would be a celebration. Jesus is here. Wow, Jesus is back. And the Bible says initially many people were amazed when he first went to the synagogue there. He had been to that synagogue many times. I'm sure that's where he attended all growing up in church. He went there. He goes back to the synagogue, the church that he was raised in. And now he's talking and he's preaching. And they're hearing about all these signs and wonders and thought, man, who is this guy? Who is this kid? What are we hearing? They were amazed at his teaching. They were amazed at him. And they just couldn't wrap their heads around the fact, is this the same boy and teenager and 20-year-old that grew up here in Nazareth? Is it that Mary's son? Wasn't his dad Joseph a carpenter? Aren't his brothers the four J's around here and his two sisters? Who is this? There's new evidence to them of a guy that they didn't really recognize. Because I don't think Jesus had done a lot of stuff, at least none of it's recorded in our Bibles, of amazing, miraculous things in his 20s and early, in teens and 20s. We don't have that. The only time we have record of him outside of the time when he was 2 years old is when he was how old? When he was 12 and he went to the temple. And his parents couldn't find him. And when they went to look for him, he was gone. And then they finally found him, and he was at the temple talking with the religious leaders. And he said, I had to be about my father's business. And so it's different now. But instead of a celebration and a ticker tape parade, as they had to have heard about things. I mean, the nation of Israel is a whole lot smaller than the state of Oklahoma. It's not a huge place. The Sea of Galilee is about a little bit bigger than Canton Lake up in northwest Oklahoma where I'm from. It's not a huge place. So the people in his hometown of Nazareth had to have heard of what Jesus had been doing. There's a place in the scripture where it says that was all over the place. I can't remember. It's back here, chapter 3, I want to say, where it says, in 3:8, they came from all over Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, from east of the Jordan River, and even from as far north as Tyre and Sidon. The news spread about his miracles had spread far and wide, and vast numbers of people came to see him. So you can't tell me the people in his hometown hadn't heard about what he had done. Why wasn't he welcomed home very well? Why? What was the problem? But they hadn't seen this side of Jesus or heard him speak like this before. And the crowd began to question his words and his actions. They said, where did he get all this wisdom? Where did he get all this power to perform such miracles? So instead of a celebration and a ticker tape parade, as they had heard of his testimonies, he gets questions and unbelief. Instead of a hometown hero, he becomes a hometown zero. What a return. What a return. Instead of praising God, listen to me here, instead of praising God for his good works, they begin raising doubt of his good work. And church, I got several stars. You mean tell you when I have a star by something? Is that helpful? Okay. I've got 3 stars by this next statement, okay? We have a choice every day as to whether we praise God or raise doubts about his goodness. Let me say that again. We have a choice every day as to whether we praise God or we raise doubts about his goodness. Woo! When people come into, what do people you come into contact with sense about you? Do they sense that you are a praising God person, or do they sense that you are raising doubts? Let's make the choice to be believers and praise God rather than bemoan and raise doubt. Let me say that again. That also had a star by it. Let's make the choice to believe and praise God rather than bemoan and raise doubt. There is always something to praise God for. There's only two times to praise God. I've told you this a million times. What is it? When you feel like it and when you don't. It's always time to praise God. So that's the return. You thought it would be awesome and wonderful because of all the good things, but they begin to question and doubt who he was. Number two, the refusal. Mark chapter 6 and verse 3 says, then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and his sisters live right here among us. And then it says they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. They refused to believe. They refused to believe. Apparently, Joseph had already died by this time. He isn't mentioned here. He just says, what about, isn't he the son of Mary? You know, as I said, Joseph raised him, taught him how to be a carpenter and how to do good work. How many of you know we ought to work and do good work? That's another sermon for another day. He did have his brothers there and his, we don't know the names of his sisters, but it is plural, so he had at least two sisters, and Mary did not remain a virgin, as some would try to tell you. She had other children after Jesus. She had James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. Maybe there were some other boys not mentioned. I don't know. And he had two sisters that we don't know their name, or more, but at least two. So she had at least six kids after Jesus. And then Jesus tells them himself the reason for the refusal to accept and believe. Jesus is saying, this is why they refuse to believe. And then he says in verse 4, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. He tells them that. He goes, because it's sort of like taken for granted. When I was... I think I was 14, 1975. I went to church camp, the Pentecostal Holiness Church Camp at I-40 and Anderson Road. And I met some kids, and later the next year in 1976, when I was 15, I went to camp. That's actually when I met Carol and her sister that year at camp. And Carol and I didn't date till later on in college, but we met at first time I ever met the Corolla clan was at camp. And there was this boy at camp, a teenage boy, my age. In fact, he's just a few months older than me, I believe, about 6 months. There was this boy at camp, and Carol and her kid she went to camp with had been going to camp with him for a long time and knew this young man better than I did. I had just met him, but he was very quiet. He would sort of just stand over to the side, and he didn't talk much, didn't say much. He wasn't mean at all. He was a very nice young man, but he was just not, he was not jumping around in the life of the party kind of a person. He was just very quiet. And so I knew him. I'll tell you his name in a minute, but later on, a couple years, our pastor at the church in Enid where we went had a youth revival announced it. And he announced that this person was coming to speak at the youth revival. And I thought, who did he say? And he said it again. I thought, is that that kid at camp that just never said anything and was always standing to the side? And I thought, yeah, that was his name. I remember his name. I remember meeting him. I thought, man, and he's going to preach? Are you kidding me? I mean, I wasn't called to preach then. I wasn't going to be a preacher. I wasn't called to preach until I was 19. So I had no aspirations for ministry at this point when I was about 17, 18. So he came, and we're sitting in the church there in the chairs, and our pastor introduced this young man, and he got up and he spoke, and I could not believe he was the same person. Man, he preached like a house of fire. It was just amazing. I'm sitting there with my mouth open and my eyes wide thinking, this is that same kid from youth camp? He is preaching like that? I mean, he's preaching like he'd been preaching for 40 years. He was quoting scripture right and left, boom, 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 boom. And I thought, what happened to him? Who is this kid? And he's been preaching like that the last 40 years, and you'll probably know his name. His name is Terry Trammell. He's preached here, and I love to hear him preach. So let me say this. Never underestimate what the Holy Spirit can do in a person's life. God's hand leaves fingerprints that far exceed human limitations. God's hand leaves fingerprints on people that far exceeds their human limitations. So don't be offended at somebody that you don't understand, like the people were of Jesus. Never underestimate what the Holy Spirit can do in a person's life. There's an old saying that says, familiarity what? Breeds contempt. You ever heard that? Familiarity breeds contempt. Basically, what that means is that if you know a person or situation very well, you can easily lose respect for that person or become careless in that situation. Basically, you take them for granted. And I think that is what happened. The Christian, the people there in Nazareth took Jesus for granted. They knew him, but they didn't understand all his new teaching and preaching and the miracles and what they had heard. For Christian believers who believe in the power of God, we must realize God can do anything with anybody that he chooses and be grateful for that person and bring continued praise and respect rather than contempt. Be thankful. But verse 4 says they were deeply, not just offended, they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Can I tell you that was true then, 2,000 years ago, and it's still true today. People can get offended with God because he doesn't do something the way they should have, or he doesn't answer a prayer, or this or that happens to them, and they refuse to believe on him. They refuse to believe that he wants and has what's best for them, and they shut him out of their thinking. Or they get offended with someone in the family of God, and they don't try to work it out, and God's power is shut down. Brother Gerken preached a wonderful message Wednesday night. I will echo that. He said, can I tell you, there is no such thing as a perfect church. There is no such thing as a perfect church member. And he didn't say it, but I will. There is no such thing as a perfect pastor. There is no such thing as a perfect evangelist or missionary or any other church worker or leader. We are all works in progress. So don't move toward offense and unbelief. Move toward reconciliation and faith. You've come too far to turn back now. If you are a follower of Jesus. One of my pastor friends posted that song yesterday and it's been on my heart. I love him too much to fail him now. Too much to break my vow. For I promised the Lord that I would make it somehow. Now I love him too much to fail him now. You come too far to turn back. You come too far to get offended or hurt or upset at Jesus or any of his people. And if you aren't a follower of Jesus Christ, you haven't come far enough yet. But I want to tell you, there's room at the cross for you. There's still room for another in the family. There's still another place at the table the Lord will set. There's room for you. There's always room for one more. Amen. I have a picture that hangs in my office that my mom and dad got me when I was ordained. And it's a picture of the marriage supper. And you're looking at it like from where Jesus would be standing. And you see the table and you see a big candelabra and you see chairs, and it disappears. And because of the position of the candlestick, you can't see the end of the table. But can I tell you, there's always more room at the table. There's always room for someone else to come in. And that was Jesus' whole mission, was to get more people to come in and believe and experience that Jesus has their best interest in mind. Hallelujah. Start by this. Never pitch your tent in the campground of offense and unbelief. Never pitch your tent in the campground of offense and unbelief. It is a trap. Amen. Well, we've looked at the return. We've looked at the refusal. Number three, the regret. Scripture doesn't use the word regret, but you can't help but sense it's there. Mark chapter 6, verse 5. And because of their what? Because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. I mean, many times we're just happy if we'll see a few sick people healed. Jesus almost made that like the minor thing. Oh, he couldn't do any miracles except he did heal a few sick people. May we not limit God. Because of their unbelief. Notice it says he could not that he would not. It says, and because of their unbelief, he could not do any miracles. It doesn't say he would not do any miracles. I believe he wanted to. I believe the Lord regretted that he could not do many miracles in his own hometown. You believe that? I think he regretted that. I think he heard that. And more than the Lord regretting it, the people had to regret that. You think there was any sick people in Nazareth? There were sick people all over. You think there was any demon-possessed people possibly in Nazareth? Probably. You think that there was any needs for the miraculous in Nazareth like there were in other places? Yeah. But Jesus couldn't do it. Why couldn't he do it? So Mark's gospel is saying the attitude of the home folk actually prevented Jesus from doing his works. Miracles and healings and a move of God are not found in a negative environment. They didn't believe. We don't believe. We reject you. We reject what you want to do. We don't believe. And the Lord was amazed at that. Can I say this? And I did not come up with this statement. It was in the book that I've been using as a resource for these messages by Dr. George Wood, former General Superintendent of the Assemblies of God. It says, you can't have a constant attitude that demeans and criticizes and then expect wonderful things to happen. Let me say that again. You can't have a constant attitude that demeans and criticizes and then expect wonderful things to happen. We cannot tie the Lord's hands with unbelief. We must allow our faith to cooperate with God's power and will. We must, as the church, create an atmosphere of faith and belief. Let me say that again. We must create an atmosphere of faith and belief. That should be the culture of our church. Amen? When people come here, they should be able to experience faith and the power of God, the presence of God, and a belief in God that will move them out of their situation and their problem into His wholeness and healing. What are you doing and I doing to create that atmosphere? How do you create that atmosphere of belief and power? Can I tell you this? The same hometown where the angel spoke to Mary about the birth of the Savior. What did the angel tell Mary way back in Nazareth 30 years ago when she was going to give birth to Jesus? The angel told Mary what? The angel said, nothing is impossible with God. That's what the angel told Mary. In what town? Where did the angel say that at? New York? Come on. Where did he say it at? Nazareth. That's right. Is this on? Hello?
Hello?
He said it in Nazareth. The angel came to Mary in Nazareth, Jesus' hometown, and said, nothing is impossible with God. And now, 30 years later, their refusal to believe has gone to nothing is possible with God. They went from nothing is impossible to nothing is possible in 30 years. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us if we, in our own experiences with God, in our own faith and walk with God, in our own journey from earth to heaven, don't go from one time where we're saying, yeah, God can do anything. Nothing is impossible with God. He can move mountains, to where we say, oh, nothing happens anymore. Nothing's possible with God. Lord, help us. May I not write off as beyond help the very areas in my life where God wants to do a miracle. Let me say that again. May I not write off as beyond help, impossible, the very areas in my life where God wants to do a miracle. Instead, may I say, like the man who had the son who wasn't sure if Jesus could help him, and Jesus did cast the demon out of his son, and what did the father say? I believe, help thou my unbelief. Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief. We need to be like that woman that Pastor Phil preached about last Sunday, who pressed her way through the crowd and through her doubts to touch the hem of the garment of Jesus. We need to be like the synagogue ruler who had a daughter who was dying, who went and found out Jesus, didn't know much about Jesus maybe, or didn't understand what all he would say or do, but he said, all I know is I've heard maybe he can help me. And he saw his 12-year-old daughter raised up. Don't let Jesus be rejected under your watch. Let me say it again. Don't let Jesus be rejected under your watch. In conclusion, again, those famous two words everyone loves. Look at verse 6 one more time. Man, I've been preaching a while. I didn't know I'd gone that long. Y'all been listening a while. Verse 6, and he was amazed at their unbelief. Did you know there are two places in the Gospels where Jesus was amazed? One of them is right there. He's in his own hometown, and he can't believe his own people that's known him since he was a kid. He's amazed at their unbelief. And then the other place is found over in Luke chapter 7, where it says, in verse 1, when Jesus had finished saying all this to the people, he returned to Capernaum. At that time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. When the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his slave. So they earnestly begged Jesus to help the man. If anyone deserves help, your help, he does, for they said, for he loves the Jewish people and even built a synagogue for us. So Jesus went with them, but just before he arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home, for I am not worthy of such an honor. I am not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was what? Amazed. Turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, I will tell you the truth. I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. And when the officer's friends returned to his house, they found the slave completely healed. The people who knew him best for 30 years didn't believe. And Jesus was amazed. A Gentile, an officer of an occupying power who knew him not at all, greatly believed, and Jesus was amazed. Let me ask you this question that'll be on the screen. Would you rather Jesus be amazed at your unbelief or be amazed at your faith? You see, sometimes we wonder, have you ever thought this before? This has happened to me. I've thought of this. Sometimes there has been somebody who maybe's only been serving the Lord for a short time. I mean, they lived a terrible lifestyle and just came to the Lord, and suddenly the Lord's just moving in their life. I mean, they're seeing answers to prayer, and God is doing great miracles in their life, and they don't even know the books of the Bible hardly. They don't know much about theology, but God is moving and using them. And sometimes, as you have served the Lord all these years, you're saying, God, I don't see you doing much. That register with anybody but me? Maybe, just maybe, they got a little more faith in the power of God than we who've been sitting in these pews forever. Hello? Maybe they got a little more faith in their bones than we do, because we've seen it all, we know it all, we do it all, we know all the songs, we know all the hymns, we know all the scriptures, we know everything about the church. Maybe we just need to take God at his word a little more. And I'm preaching to me just like I'm preaching to you folks. I don't know about you, but I want Jesus to be amazed at my faith and not my unbelief. Title of the message was what? Put that up there. Jesus rejected at... We know he was rejected at Nazareth. Scripture says that. We just talked about it. What we don't know is how much Jesus is rejected at your house and my house. You say, rejection, that's pretty strong words. Well, when we don't believe, that was the only thing. There was probably some good people in Nazareth. A few of them went and got healed and came to the synagogue and listened, but Jesus was amazed at overall their unbelief. He was rejected. I think at the church sometimes we reject the very God we say we embrace by our actions, by our lack of prayer, by our lack of being and doing the things that we should be doing and being and doing. Because we know it all. We've been here for 50 years. We know. It's time we get back to a childlike faith, to a childlike belief. If I tell Willow right here that I'm going to give her a $5 bill after service, which I don't have one. I really should have one in my pocket if I'm saying this. All I have is a 20. Willow, come here, Willow. Would you like a $20 bill? You would? If I said I was going to give you a 20, do you believe I would give you a 20? There you go, sweetie. I had not planned that. That just came upon me and it cost me 20 bucks. But listen to me, there's a principle here. If we would be as receptive and believing in what God says he will do as Willow was of this preacher's word today, we would see God do some amazing things in our midst. Hallelujah. Let us stand together. Father God, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for rejecting you, all the while accepting you. Lord, bring back the first love again. Let us come back to first love. Let us come back to you, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, where we falter and fail and get religious rather than being truly involved in a relationship with you. Cleanse us, oh God. Lord, don't be rejected at our house. Don't be rejected in this house. Lord, when you look at Noble Assembly of God, Lord, I pray that you see faith and not unbelief. Forgive us. Would you just ask the Lord right now to fill you with his faith? We know that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, but it certainly does not hurt for us to tell him, Lord, as the disciples even prayed, Lord, increase my faith. Increase my faith, God. Forgive me, Lord, of taking my eyes off of you, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, for putting other things in the place that you should be occupying. Forgive me, Lord. Help me to have faith and trust in you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. These altars are open this morning. I just like for you to invite you to come and crawl out and call out to the Lord. Crawl on your belly, whatever, however you see fit to get before God and say, God, increase my faith, Lord. Lord, don't let me be filled with rejection. Lord, don't let your heart be rejected when you look at my life, oh God, and my family and my church, God. May you see faith and not unbelief. Hallelujah. Let's find a place to pray as we sing this last song, because God wants to do some awesome things again in our midst. Hallelujah. I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures to generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. I need you now to do the same.
same God. You are the same God. You touch the lepers then. I feel your touch right now. You are the same God. You are.
Voices.
Strengthen you with a way of power.
Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, where we fail. Touch our hearts, we pray today. Let us draw near to you with a full and sincere faith. Touch us, Lord, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we love you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Deserve our praise.
Deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be
Boy, I don't know if you felt what I felt this morning, but wow. The Holy Ghost just showed up in this place. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit showed up. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, I kind of think that's what heaven's going to be like. Amen. Just the glory of God all the time. Amen. Just basking in the glory of God, zooming around here, there, and yonder. You think that you're there? I think I want to go to Jerusalem. Boom, I'm there. I think I want to go down to the river of life. Boom, I'm there. Just got a 42-pound bass. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's lift our hands and give God praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for moving in our midst today, Lord. Touching your people, Lord. Touching me, Lord. Thank you, God, for what you're doing and going to do in the future, Lord. God, we're not going to be a house that rejects you. We're not going to be a church that rejects you. We're going to be a church and a house and people that embrace you in faith. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Go with God today. Glory to God's name. Glory to God.